Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. You've been hearing the ads here every Wednesday for quite a long time now, so you know this is the best way to get ready for your next vacation. Every time you look down at your phone for a phone call, a text, or a tweet, you're going to see how many days you have to go. You're also going to see great pictures from Walt Disney World, audio cues, and more. But let's show you care by giving a share today. So what I want you to do is hashtag Days to Go WDW and share out your home screen. How many days do you have to go and how are you celebrating? So one more time, hashtag Days to Go WDW and share your countdown with us on the social media. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 998 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. And that's right, only two count of more shows until episode 1000 of the Be Our Guest Podcast. And we want you to be a part of that show, but you got to get on it today or tomorrow. Tomorrow's the deadline to be a part of episode 1000. And it's going to go in Cooperstown and Canton, Georgia, all these great Hall of Fames. Well, I don't know. I don't know where the Podcaster Hall of Fame would be, but hey, maybe there'll be one and maybe you'll be a part of it. So two ways to get in on the action. We want you to leave your memory of the Be Our Guest podcast. Lots of events we've done. We've done three podcast cruises. We've had way more people in a treehouse than the fire marshal will allow. We've stormed Norway. We've run races. We've raised money for Give Kids the World. And I know a lot of folks have met each other through the show. So send in your memories. Two ways to do that again. You can go to your Voice Memos app on your smartphone and just record a 1 to 3 minute message and email that to Mike at brguestpodcast.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 407-413-9395. 1 to 3 minutes, and we'll put that on the show. Coming your way this coming Monday, episode 1000. Joining me tonight, well, Ricky was having trouble with Skype, which is a common thing. Podcasters get it. Skype updates at the wrong times. We're going to try to get her back for Friday. So joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam?
I cannot believe that we are going to be recording our 1,000th show. I mean, it just seems crazy. It seems like, honestly, we started doing this, I don't know, like a few months ago. Like, I know that's not really what's happened, but it's gone so fast, and it just is, you know, I was just thinking about it tonight before we started recording, and I'm like, oh, I get to go chat with Mike and Ricky tonight. I mean, it's just fun. It's just like getting to call up some friends of yours and like chat about stuff you want to talk about. So anyways, very cool. You know, it's a big credit to all the dedication that you put into it, Mike, making us sound good all the time, even when we don't.
When
so
I have to, like,
we appreciate
throw people,
that for yeah, sure.
When I have to boot people off the show because Skype sounds too bad, I just won't go for it. No, Ricky will be back. And I feel bad. But she's going to be there. She'll be back for Friday's show, I'm sure. But yeah, I always try to make the sound the best we can. But yeah, it's been a great journey. Mallory was 2 months old when the podcast started. And she's a second grader now,
crazy.
8 years old. It's just, and we've seen, you know, the thing is, like, we started podcasting 8 years ago, and you know, maybe 10 or 20 people tuned in those first few months. And, you know, now we just have friends all around the world, like in the chat room right now. We're live on Facebook, Masayo. You know, it's already the morning the next day. And I mean, we have friends globally now. So thank you to each and every one of you for being a part of this awesome journey. But you know what? We're here to answer your listener questions. We'll talk about all that stuff on Monday, but we want to hear from you. So make sure you send in that message that we can get you on for Monday's 1000th podcast. All right, here we go. Max has the first question of the day. And he says, hey, Mike, just getting into the podcast, but love it so far. I currently subscribe to 8 Disney podcasts, and yours is my favorite. Down to business. My wife and I are expecting in June. We love to go to Walt Disney World in January, usually for and around the marathon. We ran it in 2013, and we were in the parks during the marathon in 2015. So we would love to plan a return trip in January of 2017. And at that point, we'll have a 6 or 7 month old. Are we insane? Any suggestions? I want to get in Walt Disney World as many times as possible while the kid can still get in free. Thanks, Max. All right, so I like the idea of free. Free's great when it comes to Disney. But paying a marathon weekend with an infant 6 months old, I mean, I guess it can be done. But I mean, obviously, both parents can't run in the same event unless you bring, you know, grandparents or kind of a support staff.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we can't speak to your overall sanity. We do not prescribe, you know, to going to us for advice on whether you're sane or not. But I think you absolutely can do it. One of the things I think, especially a marathon weekend, is to know that you'll be tired.
Yes.
I mean, whether you're cheering or running or whatever, you're going to be tired. So take that into consideration. But I think, you know, sometimes traveling with a younger baby is easier than when they get to that point where they're wanting to walk around or be down all the time or whatever. When you're at home, I remember feeling, you know, like Hannah always wanted to be like, she always wanted me to be picking her up and carrying her around. And at home, that was kind of a pain in the butt. But when we were on vacation, it was actually really, really good, because that's where you want them to be anyways, or in the stroller. When they get to that age, when they're wanting to toddle around, things become a little more challenging, but it's still very manageable. So I think you can definitely do it. Like we always say, you know, try to keep your baby on the same schedule that they're used to at home. That includes feeding, napping, you know, bedtimes, things like that. Be prepared that things in Disney World are loud. And that was one of the things when Hannah was little that really impacted her more than anything else. If I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. It's just loud. It's not scary. So don't, you know, she was afraid of a lot of things because it was so loud. And in your daily life, you really just don't encounter that as much as you do in Disney World. Some of the shows, even like Little Mermaid and other things like that, that you wouldn't initially think, oh, this is going to be scary for a child. It was, just because it was so loud. So consider dealing with that. But there are so many attractions that you can really experience together as a family. In fact, there are relatively few attractions that actually have a height requirement. So I think there's just so much to do. And as you mentioned, free is free. So take advantage of that.
Get that right. Yeah, it was easier taking Mallory as a 6-month-old than as a 2-year-old. She's had a mind of her own, wanted to go everywhere. So it's actually one of the, you know, better times to take a kid. Marathon weekend is a challenge because you're exhausted. There's so much going on. You got more traffic and so forth. But good tips there. And I just wanted to send Matthew in our Facebook chat, you know, for the live stream here that we do on Monday nights, says that he just got his assignment for college program. He's settling in. He's listening right now from Orlando, and he's been assigned to the food trucks at Disney Springs. So, Pam, have you ever eaten at any of those food trucks, and do you have a favorite over at Disney Springs? Instant question.
We did, but we have only eaten at one, and I think it was the one that was like Epcot that had, you know, something from the Epcot area, or it's called International something or other, and it was fine. So I don't, but I've really wanted to try some of the other ones too. They all look good, and I think that'll be kind of a really fun place to work, because it always seems to be hopping, and that's a good thing. I think when things are busy at work, you know, it always goes faster. So love that. And you need to write to us again after you start work and tell us what your favorite is, because you'll soon be the expert in all that food, I'm sure.
Got that right. We'll be there in a couple of weeks, and of course I'll be down there this summer as well. So definitely swing by there and get to check you out in your college program, hopefully, and you know, maybe let us know where you are so we can find you. All right, next question comes from Peter Hobson. Says, hey, Mike and the ladies, big fan from Massachusetts. I would like to know what Mike's thought process was in flying to Florida. Were you nervous? Did you like it? Any thoughts of not flying home? Will you do it again? Will you ever drive again? Does the experience and quickness outweigh the expense versus flying? I was shocked when you tweeted that you were already in Florida that last trip. I would love to know all about it. Thanks, Pete. And give him a follow. He's at WDWPete on Twitter. All right, funny question. I should have actually saved this one probably for episode 1000. It'd be a good story because I swore forever. You know, one of the things about this, you know, I was a travel agent that didn't fly. It's kind of like a teacher that doesn't like apples. You know, that was going to be my children's book that I wrote in retirement. It was going to be The Teacher Who Didn't Like Apples, you know, because of the irony there. But you know what? I finally got to the point where, and kids do this to you, where Mallory is now, she was like 7 at the time, now she's 8. I didn't want to pass on my fears and my, you know, the bad parts of me to her. I didn't want to have her to have that fear and have her world limited, because there's so many places. I'm an adventurer. I want to go to Europe. I want to see Asia. I want to walk on the Great Wall of China someday. I want to go to Tierra del Fuego someday. You know, I have these dreams, but those things only can happen if I fly. And, you know, I'm a very faith-based person. You know, I believe that, you know, God has a plan for us, and that, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. And even though, you know, I was counterintuitive about saying, I'm going to hold that wheel and it's going to be all about me. I was shocked, because I just said, you know what? I want to be able to run the Wine and Dine. I want to be able to run marathon weekend. I want to be able to go in the spring. The only way you can do that as a school teacher during the school year is to fly, because you lose a day. It's 15 hours down, 15 hours back. That's two extra days on every single of those long weekend trips. So if I could get the flying thing under control, it would open up a lot more doors, especially with Disney and then down the line for other places I want to see. So what I did was I've talked to you, Pam, and you've kind of coaxed me over the years, you know, throughout the history of the podcast, and got me to the point where, you know, you fly everywhere and I see, and I'm a huge aviation fan. That's the ironic thing. I live about 10 minutes from Lambert Airport, our big international airport. I've watched the planes. I go over there. I sit in the cell phone lot and watch the planes come in and out. I've always done that. I go to air shows. You know, I'm just amazed. And I worked at Space Camp. I love space flight. But eventually I said, you know what? I watched a ton of YouTube videos of airplanes taking off out of St. Louis, like out the window videos people shoot from their seat. And I was like, okay, so that's what our town looks like from 500 feet, from 1,000 feet, you know. And actually, this one's flying right over my neighborhood. And, you know, so I kind of knew what to expect. I did have a couple of margaritas to kind of knock it off, you know, once I was going down there.
Liquid courage.
A little bit. I'm not a big drinker, but it didn't help. It didn't hurt. Had some free drink coupons for my sister-in-law. But it was fine. And being there, I feel like I am a person from, I don't know, like the 1400s or something. Because when we landed in Orlando, I just could not get past myself that, man, 2.5 hours ago, I was in St. Louis. And now I'm sitting in Orlando. Like, I wouldn't even be to Kentucky yet. I'd still be in Illinois. You know, and it was crazy. You know, and the thing is I do like to see the country. I like to drive. But I'll tell you, I'm flying down again. Now, this time I'm flying solo for Star Wars. So heads up, whoever has to sit next to me on the Southwest flight in 8 days, that'll be fine. But, you know, so just hopefully we have nice weather. But, you know, so I'm excited for that. We're going to fly down this summer instead of driving. You know, it is more expensive, but it's also it's so nice as somebody who's getting older. And I know I'm 42, I'm really old, but that drive each and every time gets a little bit harder, you know, like with like a sore back, you know, staying in that car 15 hours, driving overnight, it's rough. And I get there and I'm whooped. So being able to kind of just chill on the plane, play on Twitter, take videos out the window, talk to everybody on the social media, you know, maybe watch a movie or watch TV. It's amazing to me. So, yeah, I'm pretty much in for flight now. If I have a rough flight, I could go back. I could totally regress back to nothing and back to the old Trailblazer. But I think it's fine. And I think I'm going to be able to take advantage of flying. Because the thing is, like I said, I'm 10 minutes from the airport. It's a Southwest Airlines heavy airport where they fly to Orlando out of our airport probably about 10 times a day. And so I have my pick of almost all these times also coming back. So it's like made for me. You know, it's the cheapest. It's the most convenient.
Yeah.
I don't know, Pam. I've kind of turned the corner after. It took me 1,000 shows, but I'm a bird now.
You have.
So it's kind of fun.
I think there are lots of people who struggle with flying. It's an anxiety-provoking experience. It's not something, you know, especially if you don't do it all the time. It's the getting prepared. It's the going through security. And I've seen so many people, like, be flustered beyond all belief and security. Like, and if I'm behind that person or in front of them, I'm always like, chill. There's no time limit. You know what I mean? Because that part of it is anxiety provoking too. Like, they, you know, sometimes you don't know all the rules, or sometimes you're afraid of looking like an idiot or holding people up or whatever. You know what? The people behind you can wait an extra 60 seconds so that you can pull it together and get through there fine. But sometimes the whole process is just so foreign to people and just not something that they do every day that it does provoke some anxiety. And I think the best thing to do, you know, especially if you're prone to being anxious about something, is one of the first things that your brain does is that you avoid that topic. You avoid thinking about it. You avoid whatever. And I think the opposite is actually more effective. If you actually take the time and think about it and analyze it, like, why am I afraid about this? Or what about this specifically is causing me this anxiety and whatnot? And I have some experience in this space since both my parents are psychologists and Steve works in the mental health field as well. But I mean, it's just, you know, it's something that you got to work through. And I think that the advantages far outweigh the negatives in that space, especially when you think about, guess what? Like you just pointed out, Mike, I get to be on this plane for 2 hours and then I'm there, as opposed to, you know, the hour upon hour you spent in the car. So so glad you conquered that, and it'll open a lot more doors for you, for sure.
I appreciate that. And it's been a lot of encouragement from our listeners. Our listeners have talked to me very kindly. I mean, they didn't say, oh, you're a crazy person, even though I know you thought that because I drove everywhere. You know, it's like, man, you could be there 2 hours. What are you driving for, you fool?
Right.
But I mean, nobody said that to me. So I appreciate that from everybody. But, you know, I will say that, you know, it's amazing once you get up there. You know, like, you know, we had a cloudy day one of the days we took off, and then once we busted through those clouds, and like the sky was just like the most beautiful blue and the puffy like white clouds below you. I mean, I don't want to take that for my daughter. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was like, I want to hop out and jump on the clouds. Yeah. You know, she was excited. When you see vacation planning videos, you see people getting excited not only about the destination of Walt Disney World, which is amazing because you're going to have a million great experiences there with your family, but it's also the journey, you know, and the journey's something that, you know, flying is a part of the American culture. So I'm glad I'm actually in there. I love airports. I love it. There's Chick-fil-A's at the Orlando airport. So boom, right there. Can't fly in on Sundays. All right. Enough about me. Let's get to another question. Brittany has a question. Says, hi, Mike, Ricky, Debbie, and Pam. I am so glad that I found your podcast. This is by far the best Disney podcast, and I love listening. Thank you so much. I'm planning our December trip, and it's my first trip since 2006 and my husband and one-year-old's first trip ever. My husband doesn't get Disney and why it's so great for adults, not just kids, and I'm planning on converting him to a Disney dad this trip. I know I can sway him with food, and we will be on the deluxe Disney dining plan because we love good food. She's already, I mean, she's 95% of the way there, isn't she, Pam? Deluxe
for
Disney
sure.
Dining plan. I mean, you're sure, yeah.
Good move.
He's converted. Anyway, we're staying at Kidani Village, rented points from December 4th through December 8th of 16. 4-day single park tickets. And I'm also getting us Mickey's Very Merry Christmas party tickets for our arrival night. Here are the dinner ADRs I'm planning on. Be Our Guest, Yachtsman Steakhouse, Jiko, and here's some maybes. It says, due to bad reviews, Ohana and Narcoossee's. What are your suggestions for a nice table service dinner? Points are no big deal because we will have at least one left either way. And also, do you have any suggestions for breakfast or brunch on our last day? Thanks again. You guys are awesome. Brittany's in Aurora, Illinois. I see, remember Wayne's World? Aurora,
yes.
Illinois. That reminds, every time I see Aurora, I'm just like, boom, I'm back in Wayne. Anyway.
Party time. Excellent.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're showing our age so bad today. Okay, so Be Our Guest, Be Our Guest, Yachtsman, and Jiko. Boom, boom, boom. Your husband is set there. Lots of meat in that, you know, with Yachtsman and Jiko. I like that. But let me tell you, another one you're overlooking, and I think it's Captain Obvious for this one. And I was just talking to you, Pam, before we started recording that I want to stay at this hotel just because I got a craving for something I saw in The Amazing Race last Friday night. They were making flatbreads. And so I all of a sudden want to be at Sanaa so I can get the bread service and have the experience of that restaurant. So I would say don't discount Sanaa, kind of a hidden gem. So what else might you suggest to Brittany?
So she mentioned brunch, and I think that one of the brunches at either the California Grill or Narcoossee's is really a no-brainer. They're both newer offerings and something that would appeal to you and your husband. I think you'll just have a great experience there. Just plan on a long period of time because they are very long and drawn out. Now, I will give my opinion on Narcoossee's as a dinner spot. I will say that I haven't ever not liked it. It just is not my favorite. And one of the main reasons for me is that I don't find their menu to be extensive enough. Like, I always feel like I want one or two more choices there. So that's my opinion. Again, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I always feel like I want another choice there. If Flying Fish is open before you go again, it's under an extensive rehab right now, and there's actually no opening date set, which is always kind of scares me when they just give like a vague, like, opening again soon or whatever in the end of 2016. But if that is open when you're there, we've never had a bad experience at Flying Fish, and have eaten there so many times that if we were going to have a bad experience, we would have had it. So anyways, that's always a great choice. And I will also give a nod to Artist Point. We've had some great meals there. There are some good choices. But again, I think another thing that you always have to consider is, where are you going to be? You know, if you're going to be in a resort, you know, think of that. Like, if you're going to be near a resort, think of that. What's easy for you to get to transportation-wise? If you're going to be in a park, there are always good choices in most of the parks, too. So hopefully that gave you a few ideas to think of. And maybe if enough of us write to Disney, like guestcommunications@disney.com, that eventually they will open up Flying Fish again. Just saying. Whatever.
Just for us. We just got to have the, it's like a speakeasy. You got to know the password.
Exactly.
Anyway, Julie and Lily are down there having a great time this week. They're live with us in the Facebook chat, and they're thinking about going to Sanaa tomorrow. So do that. You'll love it. Have the bread service. Chill out. You can go to the bar area. And it's going to be great. So make sure you do that. I'm going to be watching Facebook and being jealous because you guys have been already having a good time. So thanks for checking in from your Disney vacation. I will say one. Here's the question. Let me ask you this, Pam, because it was also suggested not to miss Boma on their vacation. Now, they are staying at Kidani, but do you think it's too much to do Sanaa, Boma, and Jiko? I mean, are you like being too close-minded with being so Animal Kingdom Lodge centric, or are those three experiences so different that it's totally fine to do that in 4 or 5 days?
I think they are very different. I mean, Jiko really offers a signature dining experience, and it's very different than the other two. Sanaa, while it does offer food with a kind of African flair, it is very different than the food offered at Boma. For me, sometimes, and I know that everyone feels differently about this, but for me, I don't always have a great experience at a buffet, because when I'm ready to have dinner, I want to sit down and I want it to be a dinner. And I don't always enjoy buffets, but plenty of people do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I'm just saying, this is how I am, and I think you have to consider how you are too. How do you feel about a buffet experience? And I will say, the buffets at Disney are heads and tails above anything offered here. So that is, you know, that's something to consider as well. But I think that they're all very different restaurants with a very different offerings. The one thing that you do have to keep in mind is they are foods that may have, each of the restaurants have foods that are similarly spiced. Now, when I say spiced, I don't mean spicy. I just mean that they often use a lot of the same spices in the cooking because it's all coming from that same region. So something to consider.
Good stuff, though. And again, take advantage of your geography at Walt Disney World. That's going to be something you don't have to travel to. You're at your resort. You might be able to do it later or earlier. You know, maybe if you're back for an afternoon swim, have an early dinner, and then head out to the parks for the evening, something like that. But, you know, there's also the Wave. You know, that's if you want to go to the Contemporary, you know, we're good. That's kind of a cool place to explore. You mentioned, you know, Artist Point and Wilderness Lodge, you know, great way to pair it up with the Magic Kingdom evening. So good stuff. Good luck. Let us know how it goes, and email us back when you get home. All right. Next is just a comment. It's from Dean Johnson. He said, just listen to the podcast with a proposal photo question. Thought it would be a good idea to suggest to book a photographer. Would be some cost, but would have some special pictures included. So we did talk about the guest who is heading down, wants to pop the question to his girlfriend or fiance probably by now. Hopefully everything went well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yes, he was trying to get the he was worried about getting like the photo pass photographer like cued in that, you know, something big's getting ready to happen. Can you have the camera ready? But I think, you know, Dean's kind of covering all of his bases there, and that if you get a photographer, you know, I think you can get him for a couple hours and just have him follow. But I guess you could, you know, I guess if you did that, you could probably email them ahead of time so they can kind of be stalking. Because, I mean, the last thing you'd want to have is like this guy with a camera following you around. I mean, that wouldn't be real natural. I don't know, Pam, what do you think? I mean, is this romantic? No, I don't know.
I had an is this romantic question from the other day, but no. Well, yeah, I think it's a great way to cover your bases. I mean, hopefully it wouldn't raise suspicion. Like if I said to Steve, hey, we have this photographer for the day or for the next couple hours, Steve would be like, what? No, we don't. And he would be like, what's going on? But no, actually, if Steve would say that, then I would say, what? What's going on? But anyways, but yeah, I think it's good. And that way, you know, for sure it's going to happen. But I will say too that I don't have any pictures of our engagement, and I've made it through all these years being married. So it, you know, whether you have the picture or not, the memories are still there. So.
Yeah, we don't have any pictures either. It was getting ready to thunderstorm something fierce, and we were sitting on a bench right along the Missouri River in St. Charles. It was not this would probably not be as romantic as I was thinking, you know. So I didn't have Cinderella Castle behind me or anything. I had the, you know, I think it's called Big Muddy, you know, the big river. So anyway, I mean, we're married and we've 10 years in June. So, you know, I guess it's working out for both of us. We're doing all right.
Okay.
All right. Last question of the day. Let's get to that one. It's from Ashley. It says, hi, BOGP gang. I've been listening to the show for about a year, but this is the first time I've ever needed some trip advice. As an only child, all 20 plus Walt Disney World trips have been taking with my parents. Okay, first of all, Ashley, your parents are awesome. You got to go more than 20 times as a kid. That's awesome. But lately, I've been
right? This will be Paige and Hannah.
Yeah, exactly. This will be them writing into some podcast 20 years down the line. But lately, I've been contemplating taking a solo trip as a way to celebrate surviving my first 6 months as a nurse. Well, congratulations. That's awesome. I've never taken a solo trip like this before, though. I'm thinking April due to low crowds and the Epcot Flower and Garden Show going on. I would likely be going down on a Thursday and leaving on a Monday. Number one, recommendations for things to check out and or places to eat as a solo traveler. Okay, she's got one other part to this one. Here's what I would say. You're going down. You're excited about the Flower and Garden. You're in Cincinnati, which I believe it snowed this week. You know, it's very cold in Cincinnati, just like it was in Pittsburgh and St. Louis. It's not cool. You know, it's April. Knock that off, Mother Nature. But, you know, I would say if you're going to go to the Flower and Garden Festival, don't make any plans and just snack your way around all the outdoor kitchens, you know, because that's kind of fun. It's something you can only do during the festival. You know, those restaurants are going to be there a lot of times. And I bet going 20 plus times you've eaten at most of the places, I'm guessing. I bet you've had Pecos Bills and Cosmic Rays a few times. So I would spend my time in Epcot and go to the outdoor kitchens. That's something special, and it's very seasonal, so it changes from festival to festival, so it's probably something new. So, Pam, what might you suggest?
I think that's a great idea. And the other thing I would say is, you know, those Epcot restaurants are all very good, but you're within walking distance of quite a few other ones too at the Yacht Club and Beach Club. And I've mentioned on the podcast that my family, in response to not wanting to be too planned, will often eat at the lounges. And the Cruise Cup over there at the Yacht Club is one of the best lounges out there. Easy for a solo diner to walk in and go ahead and get something to eat. They have a great burger. They have different salads. They've added more entrees recently to meet that demand as well. And the best part is ADRs are not accepted. So we like places like that because they're easy peasy.
All right, and your second question is, my family tends to stay at Shades of Green across from the Polynesian, but I was looking into the Swan and Dolphin. My only concern is getting to and from the airport without access to Magical Express, and at 22 years old, it would be nearly impossible for me to rent a car. Any suggestions as far as a resort would be great as well. Thanks for all you do. Ashley's in Cincinnati, Ohio, but she's a St. Louis University alum, class of 2015. Go Billikens. Ashley, that one's for you. All right. So, and nobody knows what a Billiken is. It's like this little devil looking guy. I guess you got to be from St. Louis. I really don't know what he is. He kind of looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy, but like a devil kind of. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know. It's a Catholic private school in St. Louis. Anyway, so, you know, that is kind of a quandary for folks of Ashley's age. Until you hit 25, you can't rent a car. You know, that makes things tough. And with the Swan and Dolphin, with no Magical Express, that is an issue. I mean, Pam, would it be hard? Or I wouldn't think so. Like, you could probably just book something through Mears and get yourself over there. I mean, it's going to cost you just a little bit, but You know, being a nurse, she could probably save some money over at the Swan and Dolphin because they do have discounts for people in service industries like nursing, teaching, EMTs, and cops and stuff, right?
Yeah, they do. So one of the things, the other thing, you could always just get a taxi or something like that. I mean, there's many available, or a town car service or things like that. The other thing I'll mention is, you know, we book these discounts for guests a lot, with the teacher discount or the, you know, the healthcare professional discount, things like that. And it typically ends up being probably a little more than what the moderate resorts are at Disney. So if you really just want to have that full-on Disney experience, consider staying at one of the moderate resorts. The Swan and Dolphin do have a nightly resort fee and some things like that. So that kind of plays into it, even with the discount. So give the moderate resorts a shot, too, when you're looking at the pricing. There's some great benefits, I think, to staying there. You can always choose the dining plan if you're staying on site, which you can't do if you're at the Swan and Dolphin. Not that they're not on site, they're on site, but they're not official Disney hotels. So there's some real advantages to staying on site. Just make sure you look at both, and you'll be able to figure something out.
That's a good tip, because you got to think about that bottom line, especially with those resort fees. I know everybody's flipping out about that, but they do have those at the Swan and the Dolphin, so that jacks up the price.
They do.
Which you don't see in that special advertised discount that you see all over the place. But yeah, just, I mean, whatever you do, just, I mean, have a great time. You know, I think going solo gives you a freedom that's kind of remarkable. It's exciting. You get to really see a lot and do what you want. So good luck with that. And Masayo also says Shades of Green, great resort. So I didn't know that Masayo was in the military, but I guess she is. I don't know. That's also that she's been over there. So anyway, I love these live chats. They crack me up. Thanks to everybody who's part of that. But today's episode, as always, brought to you by the good folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And this thing gets better and better, it seems like, each week. There's always updates to this. I think the latest one only gives you one ad per time you launch it, which there were more ads in it because it is a free iOS app. Keeps you up to date with all your Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, actually Disney Company news. You know what's happening right now with great pictures, great articles from all the major sites, both official and unofficial. But now, less ads, and it's free. I mean, what else can you ask for? So download it today. Again, it's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. You can get it over at virtualmickey.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show comes your way on Sunday night, April 24th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Magical Mouse, not Magical Mouse Radio, I've said that too many times. It's over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/live. So be a part of that. That's the weekend after the Star Wars race weekend. So last Sunday night in April this month. So be a part of the next live show. Now, do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've got the music that you love from Walt Disney World 24/7 right at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And lots of great coverage coming from Walt Disney World here in the next couple of weeks. So you want to give me a follow because I'm going to give you some exclusive stuff. Just hint, hint. It's going to be awesome. So check that out at BeOurGuestMike, Instagram and Twitter. And join our Facebook group. We're at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Lots of great conversation going on over there. And especially in the next, we're hoping here in the next very, very, very soon, Disney Cruise Line will announce the rest of 2017. We can get the podcast cruise stuff up there. We can start booking. We can have a good time. So that's a great place to check in. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast for the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 4.0 discussion. We're already talking. We just need Disney Cruise Line to turn us loose. Come on, Disney Cruise Line, listen to us. We're ready to cruise. Do you think? I know. I'm dying anyway. I wish I was on a cruise ship right now. Or Walt Disney World with half our chat room. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Let's get on with your Wednesday episode 999. And it's not about the Haunted Mansion, even though that would have been a great idea for Friday's show. But we're going to try to get Ricky back. I know, wouldn't it have been? I mean, 999 happy haunts.
Why didn't we think about this?
That's because we think about things like this right about now. You know, anyway, we'll do one, maybe 1,999. I don't know. But we appreciate you checking in. Thank you so much for always being a part of the show. Hope you enjoyed today's listener question show. We'll be back again on Friday with episode 1,000-1 for a lot of fun. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.